Today's scripture readings begin with Psalm 95. This is the version found in the Message. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all gods. In one hand, he holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, grasps the high mountains. He made ocean. He owns it. His hands sculpted earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him, on your knees before God who made us. Oh, yes, he's our God, and we're the people he pastures, the flock he feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. Do not turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, as on the day of the wilderness test, when your ancestors turned and put me to the test. For 40 years they watched me at work among them, as over and over they tried my patience, and I was provoked. Oh, was I provoked. Can't they keep their minds on God for 5 minutes? Do they simply refuse to walk down my road? Exasperated, I exploded. They will never get where they're headed, never be able to sit down and rest. And our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speaks to you am he." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and understanding of these words.
The woman at the well is a very important story in the New Testament. It's a story about radical Jesus who speaks to anyone and everyone, to their hearts, to their souls, and speaks to every one of us. So let's pray for a moment before we get into the message. Thank you, God, for knowing our hearts so clearly and so deeply. Help us to ask for that living water that can well up inside of us, that is your truth and your love that helps us to be the hands and feet and voice of you. Help us to see this story in the light that Jesus wanted us to see it, in your light and your love. Thank you for wonderful scripture. Thank you for being with us and in us. Help us today to receive your understanding and your love. Amen. So I think it's fascinating that Jesus draws this woman into an understanding that he knows her heart. He doesn't just come right out and say, I'm the Messiah, listen to me. He says, go and get your husband, and draws her into this conversation. And she says, I have no husband. And he says, I know all about you. Doesn't God know all about us? Is there a possibility that we could lie to God? I mean, if we think there is, then we're lying to ourselves. It's, to me, a real comfort to know that I don't have to lie to God, that I don't have to be worthy, that I don't have to worry about whether or not I can come to God with anything and everything in my life. That's what it means to have this living water, isn't it? To know that you don't feel that judgment or loss or guilt. This picture, this painting of the woman at the well doesn't really say anything in her face. I think as I was looking at it this week, knowing I would do this sermon, I thought, how interesting that the painter painted her face like that. It's very contemplative and wondering and almost happy, but not quite. And that's kind of how this story is, though, isn't it? She engages with Jesus and talks with him, but it isn't until the end when she says, well, I'm waiting for the Messiah, and he'll tell me everything when he comes. You know, she was intrigued by Jesus' words, but she, in her mind, she was waiting for this almighty Messiah like the Jews. So Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah, and she brings people back, but you never hear if she has a change of heart or understands what the living water is. This passage is so amazing because it's sort of at the heart of who we are in God. We are the woman at the well. We are the disciples who come back and say, what are you doing talking to this Samaritan woman? We are all of the characters in this story who are trying to figure out who Jesus is and who God is in their lives. So here's the big idea that Jesus says. It is who you are and the way you live your life that matters to God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. So when you come here on Sunday morning, is your spirit engaged in this worship of God? How about during devotionals, during Lent, or any time that we stop and worship? Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Be simply and honestly who you are before God. Those who worship God must do it out of their very being, their true selves in adoration. So what does it mean to do that? Your true self. I mean, our true selves are full of all of the things that the woman at the well has going on. So she's had, what did it say, 5 husbands, something like that. Well, how many times have we done the same thing over and over again? 5 times, 10 times, and continued to do it, thinking that the outcome would be different. Our true selves are human beings. We do what we do. We are the woman at the well. We are the disciples learning at Jesus' feet. And we are ourselves reading the story and wondering how we fit in. So what is it that made Jesus so radical? Do we suffer from this idea that there are people we can't talk to about the love of God? Do we suffer from class? Do we suffer from, well, they're not like us, so they're not going to understand? There's that in this story too. But Jesus didn't have any trouble talking to anybody. What Jesus said was so earth-shattering to all of the people around them, that they didn't understand. There were real differences between Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Samaritans. I mean, the story about the Good Samaritan was groundbreaking because the Samaritans were almost a rival. You didn't talk to those people who weren't like you. And yet, you know, when we go back to the Old Testament, God is constantly saying to Israel, you need to be a light to the nations. So what is it that makes us close ourselves up like the Jews did and like the Samaritans did? I mean, they were their own little group unto themselves. They had their own idea of what truth is. They were also waiting for a Messiah. When we look at these, the Story of God series, and I'll leave it here in case you guys can't come, and you can borrow it if you like, and we'll keep it at church. But what's amazing about the Story of God is that they go to all different kinds of religions and ask them about different aspects of religion. And what he tends to find, Morgan Freeman tends to find, is that we have more similarities than we have differences. We all have life after life stories. We all have stories of good and evil. There's more things that we feel and think alike than there are differences. So Jesus is really saying, I am evening the field for everybody. You're all going to be able to worship God wherever you want. All you have to do is come before God as you are, just the way you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, whether you're a Samaritan or a Jew or a Roman. It doesn't matter, because you just come of yourself and you worship of yourself. We all have a sense that there is God. The playing field is even. God is there for all of us. That was really radical. It was radical for someone of any group to say that about another. And we don't recognize those things in the stories when we read them today, because we wouldn't think anything of going to a restaurant and allowing anyone of any ethnicity to serve us. We wouldn't care, would we? Because today it's not really like that. I mean, in other countries it is, but not here in the United States. We are privileged white people, most of us. That's who we are as a church. And we're not afraid of very much, and we really don't understand what it was like for the Jewish people in that time. So this story of the woman at the well, even though it speaks to us, it's hard for us to really get it. The real depth of this big idea that Jesus is talking to this woman, and that's just completely out of place. And I can't think of anything right now in the United States that would be like that. I couldn't think of a good example that said, well, we wouldn't accept someone, or, you know, we're pretty accepting and loving in this church, no matter who comes in the door. But the idea here is this equality that Jesus is talking about. This is Jesus' ministry. This is at the heart of his ministry, is love for God and love for all people. Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, and that is the law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this proves it. It's that idea, the big idea, that Everyone gets to be loved. Everybody gets this. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Samaritans. It's not just for put any group in there. It's for all of us. Simply, honestly, each one coming from our best selves, we can worship in adoration and love. It's an amazing idea. It's that wellspring. That's what Jesus is talking about with this water of life. So, next time you read this story, read it out of the Message. I think that he gets to the bottom of it in such a way that is so deep to say, come simply of yourselves. I'm going to read it one more time. It is who you are and the way you live that matters to God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Be simply and honestly who you are before God. Those who worship God must do it out of their very being, their true selves in adoration. Amen.